AM 1400, 93.3 FM, K1, and as we usually do during the legislative session, an opportunity to spend a little bit of time with our state legislative team, and fresh from a forum at Bartlesville High School Fine Arts Center, Senator Julie Daniels. Good morning. Welcome to Capitol Call.
Good morning, Charlie. I will fill the time here until Representative Dunlap and Sears arrive. They were still taking questions from people in the audience. We had a really good turnout. A huge number of teachers, because I asked the teachers to put up their hands, organized by the Bartlesville Public School District to talk about education issues and funding in Oklahoma. So that was a really wonderful way to start the day. And we've had another busy week. Just a couple of sidebar things that were interesting. It was Tartan Day in Oklahoma on Thursday, and we had the bagpipes and drums up in the gallery to entertain us. And the day before, the U.S. ambassador from Afghanistan was there to present a gift to the state and gave just a lovely, heartfelt speech thanking our state and our nation and giving us some very positive things about his country that we don't often hear. So that you walk in the Senate chamber and you just never know what special thing is going to go on. Oh, and most important for Bartlesville, the Bartlesville Boys and Girls Club Youth of the Year Kismet Oak Tree was named the state winner. And I got to have her in and take her around and show her the Capitol and the Senate chamber and things that morning. So just a lovely young woman. So excited for her.
And she was in during spring break.
Yes.
And we had a good conversation, which helped me with the story yesterday because I was able to use audio from that interview.
She's a very poised and wonderful young woman, has a great future ahead of her. And in Senate District 29, I'm lucky we have three Boys and Girls Clubs. So this week I got to visit with people from Chelsea and Nowata and just going from strength to strength. So the media, not you, of course, Charlie, say often that we're not working on the budget. And all these other things are just sidebar issues that they like to write headlines about. Mm-hmm. We're working on the budget all the time. And you don't want to adopt a budget until close to the end of May because you want to see how the revenues are doing. The Federal Reserve representative came into the Republican caucus this week and gave a very hopeful economic report in which he was directly asked, is Oklahoma still in a recession? He said, based on his data and information, we're not. That doesn't mean we're booming again, but things are starting to improve. The second largest production play of oil and gas in the United States right now is in Oklahoma, and those things are starting to come back. Natural gas is still going to be low, but agriculture is sort of stagnating. That's another one of our top three or four major industries. So things are not rosy, but they are not as bleak as they have been over the past two or three years.
And recession is a very specific economic term.
Correct. So got all the graphs and the charts from him, and that all looked very interesting. And, of course, what they're doing at the federal level is so important, particularly on health care. Once again, there's a push by the Democrats for us to increase Medicaid. And I just have to say to my public education friends who were with this morning, that's going to affect spending. You know, if you move a great chunk of it over here, you're going to have less to put over there. So that balancing among all these state agencies and all these demands, we think about it every day. And for freshmen in particular, but all of the senators, we take all of our caucus meetings, and we're now holding two a week, not just one. We leave the Senate floor and go immediately to the Senate meeting room, and somebody is tasked with saying, here's this part of the budget. Here's its history. Here's its revenue streams. Here's what we've done to it in the past few years. Here are their programs. And then I was actually sent a spreadsheet this week that I can manipulate. I can manipulate and play with money among agencies and this increase and that decrease. And, you know, there are 48 of us with individual ideas. In the end, we are going to come together with a product that is, we've all had input on, but it's going to be produced by our leadership. Mm-hmm. It has to be. That's true in any organization. And I'm not going to like it. I'm going to like some parts of it and not like other parts of it. And then, you know, talking about what, if any, tax increases would you be willing to look at? What do you want to do about apportionments? That's the off-the-top money we don't normally have any say over. What are you going to do about the tax credits? I think we should have been much more bold on wind, but we got what we could by capping it or eliminating it after July 1 of this year. So we do talk about the budget all the time, but then there are the really odd things that make you stop and say, really, do we have to do this? In business yesterday, business committee, the minority leader of the Senate, Senator Sparks, on behalf of another Democrat senator, Senator Bass, presented a bill to allow us to fly the American flag.
Wow.
That residential associations cannot ban a person from flying the American flag. Really? We have to pass a law for that? Sadly, those are the times in which we live. And so things that, as Americans and Oklahomans, we should see as no-brainers, things that literally do challenge the basic tenets of our Constitution, we're now either having to proactively or retroactively reaffirm things that I believe as a state senator I shouldn't even have to do, and I think that's sad. But it was unanimous. You can fly the American flag in the state of Oklahoma, and if your residents association says you can't, well, the state senate at least is has said you can. So that was just another funny one that came up this week.
Editorial comment, it's your program, not mine. Good for you. Thank you.
Thank yes, you. I didn't have to think about it. There were no questions and no debate, okay? And that's another nice thing. We begin each session of the Senate with a prayer, and we have a chaplain there for the week. And then on Thursday, they give us a short little sermon before we start. And then in caucus, we always pray and say the pledge. And then there's a Wednesday morning Bible study in the Senate chamber for those of us, in the Senate lounge for those of us who want to attend. And those things have become really important to keeping your perspective and taking time out to think about other things besides just the hundreds of bills that are in front of you. I've got two performance audit bills for education that are still alive. But of course you have to pay for these audits. And so because they have a fiscal impact, this year, that could be a challenge. We've passed several hundred bills out of the Senate, and now we are working on House bills. So if you call and ask me to vote on a certain Senate bill, I did that. I did that back in March, and now it's the House bills that we are tackling. And I'm trying to think of any particular one that jumps out. 75, 80, even 90% of them go through. No one says anything. And then you have two or three this week where literally the lobbying on both the for and against was just right down the middle. So in a case where you have some perspective, you can say, based on my own perspective and the input, I know how I'm going to vote. But sometimes when it's an issue that's totally new to me and it's that even, it's a little bit more of a mental exercise to decide how to vote. I do appreciate the constituents who are writing and calling. I appreciate that we have so many talented people within our district and people I've worked with in Bartlesville over the years that I've got people I can call if I'm really stumped saying, I have no idea about this issue, but they're saying this about it. What's your perspective? Is that true? Is this all good information I'm receiving? And that's where an elected representative still must rely on and call on individual constituents to fully brief me on issues.
As a freshman legislator and applying your legal training, do you find yourself with the simulated trial testimony of a bill, someone advocating for it, someone voicing your head advocating against it, and trying to apply that process?
Do you mean, do I argue with myself?
Yeah.
I do, all the time.
Not using that word, but yeah.
Yes, and in fact, next week there's going to be a difficult bill, and I know how I'm going to vote on it, but I know it's really very evenly divided, and I've had freshman colleagues saying, okay, based on your experience, what do I do? I said, I cannot tell you what to do. Here are all the pros, and here are all the cons. And they'll say, so which is it? I said, I don't know. You got to figure that out for yourself. I've told you the pros and the cons, and I told the author of the bill that even though I may be a no, I'm going to express both sides because I know something about this issue, and then leave them to make up their own mind. But I'm also known to go to them occasionally and say, I have no idea. What do you think? Mm-hmm. And that's part of representative government. It's all individual human beings getting in a room, wrestling with really difficult substantive issues, really difficult financial issues, and trying to balance all that out and make the best judgments that they possibly can. Also, in terms of specific legislation, I was reading a bill this week And it just jumped out at me that it wasn't written well to do what it wanted to do. So I went over to the chairman of the Judiciary Committee, who is a practicing attorney, and I said, "This looks wrong to me." And he read it and he said, "Well, this just isn't written right at all." And I said, "Okay." So he handed it back to me. He said, "So, you go write it and come back and I'll help you see if you've improved on it." So I had another piece of homework to do, to go do some work on criminal trespass, which I shall do this weekend after enjoying a sunny day in Bartlesville.
Sounds great. Well, I don't want to necessarily spend a lot of time on this morning's forum at the high school because there will be another forum in a couple of weeks. But certainly an audience that was interested in a particular topic, and certainly when you have a room full or dominated primarily by educators, they all had common questions. Do you feel as though you were able to give your point of view to them adequately?
Oh, certainly, and we had three basic questions we started with, and sadly, of course, in an hour, there were many more index cards that came in than we could answer. So, in fact, I asked that the district send those to me mm-hmm. so that I can write and send answers back to all the questions. Moving in reverse order, the last one we were asked about was gaming and the lottery and why these didn't solve the problems of education funding. And, of course, we have no control over the gaming and the revenues, except through these contracts, these compacts negotiated with the governor.
Right.
And that's right. Governor Henry negotiated these, and it won't be until 2018 that they are renegotiated. And we get a certain sum of money on Class 3 gaming, whatever that is. I'm not a gambler.
And we don't have time now to define it.
But since that time, since that compact was agreed to, and that amount of money comes to education, they've introduced a new class of gaming that's much more popular.
Mm-hmm.
So more people are playing those games for which we get no revenue than the games that generate revenue. So the bottom line is we're not getting as much money from gaming. The lottery. The lottery was sold as providing, first started out like $300 million, then $200 million, then over $100 million. And the most it's ever provided is $62
mm-hmm.
And it's under that now. And that is because only 45% of everything that comes in from the lottery goes to education. And of
and
that,
45% goes to common education.
Yes. So you're less than half of less than half, and the rest of it goes to higher ed, school consolidation fund, teacher and retirement, and there's another piece of it. So we were sold, and maybe perhaps we wanted to believe that this lottery money would generate everything that was needed for education. And on top of that, with the increasing in lotteries around us, the recession, now maybe some people are buying lottery tickets as an investment, but in a recession, you're not going to generate as much revenue from those lottery ticket sales. And then people going to the casinos and doing this Class 2 gaming.
Mm-hmm.
So you're just not generating the money. So you can estimate what you're going to get, but in reality, if you don't get it, it doesn't mean the money was used somewhere else. Now, and I can't explain this very well, last year during the budget negotiations, somebody in government neglected to tell somebody else in government that they were about to do an allocation that would, on paper, mm-hmm. doing the math, would look like they were taking from the 1017 fund with lottery money and putting it somewhere else, which you're not allowed to do.
Right.
And so we have to make up for that this year. It was not intentional. And when you say, well, everybody should have known, my budget book is very thick.
Yeah.
And even those who've been there forever. In fact, I met with the pro tem.
I know where you're going, and I want to wrap
okay,
this up.
You wrap it up.
Yeah, but simply that money will have to come out of this year's budget to make up for where it did not go last year.
That's right. So that will be less money to allocate to this next year's budget to make up for a mistake in last year's budget allocation.
Right. Well, a program brought to you by Phillips 66.
Thank you, Phillips 66.
And I know that you have a forum that you probably will be attending at RVS Bank, but there also is a forum that will be held at City Hall, I believe, on the 25th. If not, it's in a couple of weeks on a Friday night.
It's that Friday night at Is it six?
I believe so. I'm operating my memory.
I relinquished my calendar to somebody else. I know I'm to talk with you today and go to the east side branch of Arvest. I'm not sure what happens after that.
Okay, well, we'll get more. It is in a couple of weeks, and we'll get more information on that one.
And please, everybody out there, call me, email me, you know, look at my Facebook, Daniels OK Synod. I try to keep people up to date on what's going on, and I really appreciate hearing from everybody in District 29.
Thank you very much.
Thanks, Charlie.
Senator Daniels with us this morning on Capitol Call, and Brew and Buzz on the way.
It's 2:37 p.m. Sarah needs a bit of a break, so she stopped by her local Phillips 66 station.